Saturday Night Abundant Grace Church. How's everybody doing? Praise God. God is good, right?
Yes.
All the time. Are you ready for the word?
Yes.
So just for those of you guys who don't know, pastor's on vacation. So he's going to be coming back and forth to do some Sunday services and flip-flop with Pastor Eddie. And me and Pastor Eddie kind of rearrange Saturdays and Wednesdays. So you might get me. You might get Pastor Eddie. I know you're going to have me this week and next week. So what I want to talk about tonight, we might not finish, but if not, we'll just wrap it up next Saturday. Amen? Just as a heads up, so you guys know, starting Wednesday, I am doing the next six Wednesday night services, and we're going to start and finish, because I promised I would finish the book of James in 6 weeks. Amen? So praise God. God is good. This is the message God put on my heart. So I was thinking in terms of it being a new year. And I'm a goal setter, and I'm kind of an evaluator. So I like to evaluate my life, you know, and kind of look back over my personal life, my spiritual life, my business life for the year that just passed. And I started to meditate on that, but I also started to meditate on my spiritual walk and why so many Christians don't have the fullness that God wants them to have. And I started to think about what are blessing blockers. And I think personally, and I think God's word points this out, point really, really in your face, that one of the biggest blessing blockers for Christians is walking in unforgiveness. And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. So before we do that, let's just open up in prayer. And if you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 17. I think pretty much my whole message tonight is out of the NIV. But open up to Luke chapter 17 and let's pray. Father God, I thank you as I thank you every time we're here, that we have this place to come to, Father, that this is our local church, but we, as a corporate member of Christians, we are the church, Father. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that your word is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword, Father, that it would point us in a direction where we need to change, Lord. And if there's anybody here tonight dealing with unforgiveness, I personally believe there is. That's why you put this message on my heart, Father, that it would meet people exactly where they're at tonight, and it would facilitate change. Father, your word is a mirror, and then when we look in that mirror and we apply the word of God to our lives, that we would have change. And I thank you for it all, in Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So it's a touchy subject sometime, right? Walking in unforgiveness or an inability to forgive. So Luke chapter 17, verse 3, and again, this is the NIV, says, "So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." And the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." So I specifically wanted to look at the imagery in that verse of scripture. How many people in here know that God's word is kind of packed with imagery? And I believe God taught and Jesus taught in parables to his disciples, and he's taught in parables to us, although he's explained those parables in most cases to us. But in some cases where he's used illustrations of things, I believe it's our jobs as Christians to do some research. Because as you start to tear the word of God apart and you start to look at these things in the word, you're going to be looking at the Bible in a whole new way. It's going to give you so much more information than you think might be available on the surface. So I specifically wanted to start this message tonight by looking at this mulberry tree. Now that's what it says in the NIV version, but if we go back to the King James version, it calls the tree the sycamine tree. So all these versions really kind of stemmed and were translated from the King James and kind of expounded on. So the sycamine tree is what I wanted to look at. And why does Jesus, talking about forgiveness, use an illustration of a sycamine tree being torn up from the ground and thrown into the sea? And it's really important to understand what were the characteristics of this tree. So obviously it was a tree that was around in Jesus' day. Okay, it was pretty, and it was really, really plentiful. And it was a hardy tree, had really deep roots. Like I said, they grew in abundance, and they were almost impossible to kill. Super tall trees, hard to kill. You could literally cut into it, and it wouldn't die. like I said, the roots went down deep, and it resembled the mulberry tree, but wasn't identical to the mulberry tree. Okay, and that's important, and we're going to get there in a second. The mulberry tree was the tree that produced very sweet, luscious, delicious figs. The sycamine tree also had fruit resembling figs, but they weren't sweet, they were bitter. Okay, hang in here. You guys kind of just, we're taking a ride here. Okay, so you got the mulberry tree, which was the tree of the figs that people ate that were sweet and delicious. Then we have the sycamine tree that had bitter figs. Amen. If you were rich and wealthy in that day, you would buy the mulberry figs. If you couldn't and you were among the people, the biggest portion of the people that were around in Jesus' day weren't super wealthy, so they would go get the tree, the figs from the sycamine tree. So think about something. When you're eating something that's bitter, you take a bite and it's like, right? And you kind of slowly nibble on it. You know, even something that's sour, something bitter, even something that you like that's bitter. You know, there's kind of things out there like spices and types of fruit that are bitter, but we like them, right? And so they really had to eat them slowly. And they would just nibble on it and gnaw on it because it was too bitter to eat all at one time. When we understand the sycamine tree that Jesus uses in this illustration of Scripture, we have a better understanding of why he put that into his word when he was talking about unforgiveness. All right? So you got that all set up now. Hardy tree, deep-rooted, impossible to kill with bitter fruit. Okay? Well, when we look at walking in unforgiveness or an inability to forgive, are we not walking in some type of bitterness? When you're not forgiving somebody, an event, you know, sometimes it's not a person, sometimes it's a thing, okay? And we're going to look at these as we get into this a little bit tonight. When we're walking and harboring unforgiveness, would we say that unforgiveness is a bitterness? I'm bitter towards that person, right? There's no coincidence why God's word use this tree. And then the deep roots. Bitterness and unforgiveness usually start gradually. You know, you usually don't become bitter at somebody in one shot. Somebody does you wrong. You might get angry, but do you necessarily get bitter right away? No, bitterness happens over time. As we continue to replay that wrong done to us in our heads, and I'm using an example of people doing us wrong, over and over and over again, we slowly become bitter. But what happens when we become bitter? As we manifest that unforgiveness in our lives, we manifest unforgiveness by continuing to meditate on it. It becomes bitter, and then guess what happens? Just like this sycamine tree, you wind up with deep-rooted bitterness. Amen? What happens is when we continue to be rooted in bitterness and unforgiveness, in this sycamine tree, its roots were so deep that it could find nourishment in a desert, you know, in a desert area. It could go so deep that it could find water. Well, you might say, well, what the heck does that have to do with unforgiveness? But think about it for a second. When you're walking in unforgiveness, your unforgiveness will make a way for itself. Meaning, you will find a way. Because I'm going to get at this tonight, that forgiveness, God's kind of forgiveness, isn't necessarily a choice. It's God's word. But when your forgiveness, when you're walking in unforgiveness and you're harboring that towards a thing, a person, an event, you will find a way to continue down that road. Your unforgiveness makes a way for itself. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? We hold on to it so strongly. Resentment. Absolutely. Well, resentment is really our past crippling us in our present time. And that's what we're going to look at, too. We're going to look at resentments, actually. So the sick, now, let's see. The other side of the coin, too, those bitter figs, those sycamine figs that were so bitter, people would eat them. Now, remember, these were people that couldn't afford the good stuff, quote unquote. They would eat them, It would take some time, but what would wind up happening when people ate these is that they literally made them sick. It would literally make them like have an upset stomach. Because why? The bitter fruit was hard to do what? Digest. Bitterness and unforgiveness to a Christian, really to anybody, is just like a poison. Amen? Jails and prisons are literally full of today people that are so angry and were so bitter that it resulted in them in acting on that anger. I want to tell you a story about somebody that me and Jody knew. We had a friend, and she had a circumstance in her life, and it was a real circumstance. I never deny circumstances. But she had went through a situation where her father had walked out of her life when she was a little girl and wound up getting remarried and raising his own kids and having his own family and totally writing her off. And she was harboring so much unforgiveness that all she would do, she would meditate on this situation, get to the point where she was so angry, so upset, she would make herself violently ill. And this is a reoccurring cycle for her. And I'm not gonna tell you how it ended till later as we look at this, as we go through this tonight. So Matthew chapter 18, verses 29, starting in verse 29. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused instead, and he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw that what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their masters everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." Think about that for a second. Think about that verse of scripture. You're harboring some sort of unforgiveness towards somebody, towards something, towards an event. Or so often, this is what I see, towards ourselves. I can't forgive me for something that happened back there. If you're saved, if you're in Christ, that should never be the way we look at things. Why? Because we're not living under a blanket of forgiveness where we've forgiven ourselves. If you've turned to God in that thing that you're having a hard time forgiving yourself for and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. You know I messed up." What does the Bible tell us? His forgiveness is, he puts it as far as the east is from the west. He throws it in the pit of unforget. He'll never remember it, right? It's over for him. Yet we don't live under the blanket of the freedom of forgiveness that God provides. That's the same thing that happened to this guy in that verse of scripture I just read. The guy he was working for said, "Your debt's canceled. You're good to go. I'm forgiving your debt." We've heard that before, right? In the terms of debt. Your debt's been forgiven. Well, this guy's debt was forgiven. Your debt was forgiven on the cross. Amen. And on that forgiveness was not only forgiveness for sin, it was forgiveness for everything. Your situation, that thing you're harboring in your life that you can't forgive yourself, was taken to the cross. This guy's debt was taken to the cross. His master forgave him. But in turn, what did he do when it was his chance and presented with an opportunity to forgive someone? "You owe me. I'm going to choke you. Give me my money." God forgave us. We have to forgive. And that includes ourselves. We have to live on the under the blanket of the forgiveness that God's provided for us. And now that forgiveness is not a fire escape or a rationalization to sin. "Hey, I'll just repent." That's not what I'm talking about. There's so many people I've seen in years of being in ministry and even out in the world that can't let themselves be forgiven. Yet your Creator forgave you. Man, we got to live in that blanket of forgiveness that God's provided for us. Amen? Now, like I just mentioned, unforgiveness can be, of course, directed at someone, something. Like I said, an inability to forgive yourself. But there's a spiritual aspect to forgiveness. There's also a natural aspect to forgiveness as far as what the outcome, your physical outcome, will be if you don't forgive somebody. And I'm not speaking this over you guys. It's factual. Ready for this? Modern medicine has found links to many physical ailments that are caused by unforgiveness. Here's what some of these include. Doctors have done research that unforgiveness can contribute to many serious medical conditions like hypertension, high blood pressure, ulcerative colitis, depression, anxiety, joint and muscle pain, stress that contributes to heart disease, as well as jaw pain and headaches, and the list literally will go on and on. And it can lead to increased chances of alcohol and drug abuse and increased rates of suicide. Let me tell you the ending to that story of that girl that was a friend of ours, 35 years old, diagnosed with breast cancer. I believe it was from a root of bitterness. Amen? And I was also thinking about, well, and look, before I get there, think about this for a second. We all know somebody, and I'm going to just tell you a little story about somebody I knew years ago who was walking in complete unforgiveness towards somebody, and they were always, always sick. Something was always going on. It was this pain. This is wrong with me. This is going on with me. And she literally came to me one day and said, Frank, why do you think, you know, why is it, I'm a Christian. Like, why am I dealing with all this stuff? And I knew her story. And I said, I'm going to be honest with you because I don't pull any punches. If you know me and you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you like it is. And I said, did you forgive so-and-so yet? No. Ding, 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 ding. There's your answer. Ah, you don't know what he did to me. And walked off and refused to do it. I don't know where she's at today, but there is a spiritual blessing blocker if we don't forgive people, and there's a physical opening yourselves up to ailment, because when you're in unforgiveness and God's word is completely in your face about we need to forgive, what are we doing when we don't forgive? We're in sin. And when we're in sin, who do we open the door up to? To do what? Act on our physical body. Think about it. When you're so mad at somebody and you're just ticked off and you're like, everything tenses up, you know that can't be good physically, right? Just think about it even in the common sense perspective. Unforgiveness will make you sick. Can't put it any other way. And sometimes the thing that we're harboring is so ridiculously trivial. To Aunt Tessie. Anybody have an Aunt Tessie? Is that just an Italian thing? We got Aunt Tessie. For example, Aunt whoever. You know, when you're Italian, your neighbors are aunts and uncles. You know, half the time I didn't know who I was really related to or who I wasn't related to. I was related to everybody, so I thought, oh, we're going to Aunt Elsie's house. How are we related to Aunt Elsie? We're not. Our relation to Aunt Elsie is my mother and father could open the window and they could each see each other in their apartments across the street in Hudson County. That's how we're related. But you get my point. So I remember asking my mother years ago about a story. Hey, why don't we talk to Aunt so-and-so anymore? And she goes, yeah. Okay, well, what? She's like, don't remember. If you don't remember why you don't talk to somebody, do you think it's really that big a deal? Because what happens? Just like that root of bitterness, over time, we're desensitized to the fact that it was probably not such a big deal. We refuse to go back and revisit the hurt that really probably wasn't such a big thing, and that just becomes the way it is. We experienced that with my father-in-law going home to be with the Lord recently, right? We had some chaos. Now, I'm going to tell you about unforgiveness from my father-in-law's perspective. It's pretty cool. Don't cry. So my father-in-law, character and a half, right, for those of you who know him or knew him. Love God, sold out to the word. But he knew he passed away on a Tuesday night into a Wednesday morning, whatever it was. Monday night, we were here doing Celebrate Freedom. You know, because he FaceTimed us. And he said, I'm going home to be with the Lord. He knew it. He's like, I feel different. I'm going home to be with the Lord. He called. In those 2 days, he made sure that everybody in the family that was dealing with strife with each other, he FaceTimed them. Guy, he knew he was going. He said it to us. He was gone in like 28 hours. And he made sure that everybody who was at strife with each other wasn't anymore. You two don't do this. You hear me? I want you to love it. Right, exactly. He was so bent on his dying declaration to be, we're not doing this unforgiveness thing anymore. Amen? And he went home happy. You know, Pastor kind of alluded to some of the stories I know. I mean, he went home happy. Amen? I mean, we had a party that night at the house, actually, while he's dying in his bed. Brought everybody over to see him. Everybody was around him, all his brothers, the whole family. And he made sure, like I said, that everybody was not dealing with that unforgiveness towards each other any longer. So I mentioned, obviously, that there's medical benefits to forgiving. Why don't we look at some of the spiritual ones? How does that sound? But first of all, to learn to forgive, we got to learn God's way to forgive, not our own natural fleshly way to forgive. Because a lot of times our own natural fleshly way to forgive is, oh, I'll just drop it. But really deep down inside, we're still angry. Anybody been there besides me? Oh, I'll just let it go. And then every hour I'll think about it. Yeah. You know, the birdcage in the heart, put it back in. Now they're good. Right? I forgive you, jerk. Come on, let's be real, right? You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, the only true way of forgiveness that works is obviously Jesus' way. So the form of the word forgiveness, forgiven, some form of the word forgive appears in the King James Bible 101 times. So I'm pretty sure God thought it was important. Would you agree? John chapter 3, verse 16. We should all know this scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Getting back to the main fact that I mentioned a while ago, you've been forgiven. Not only were you were forgiven when you were not worthy to be forgiven, right? He redeemed us back when we were unredeemable. Amen? He became sin who knew no sin, that we, us, might become the righteousness of God in Christ. He ransomed us back with the price and the precious blood of his son Jesus back to him. Could you think of any bigger forgiveness than that? So-and-so who slashed your tire when you were 14 or 17 years old, is it really that big a deal? But you know what I'm saying? I don't know where that came from. Somebody in here get their tires slashed when they were 17? Anyway, my point being is, scope of that versus the scope of these things we get mad about and harbor to our own detriment. For God so loved the world, he gave us, Jesus, forgave us from everything, and we still hold on to this unforgiveness. Amen? There are, we'll get there. I want to look at what happens when we start to forgive, and we're going to get into this now. So 1 John chapter 1, 9, again, this is our very familiar verse of scripture. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we look at forgiveness through God's eyes. I kind of got ahead of myself when I started at the beginning, because this is God's way to forgive. If he... For literally, have you heard the expression, I can forgive, I'll never forget? That's the world. That should not be Christians. Aren't you glad God didn't forgive, but I'm not going to forget? No, he forgave and he forgot. That's true forgiveness. We have to cultivate that type of forgiveness in our lives where we forgive and literally forget and wipe it out. Now, I'm not telling you not to be cautious. You know, people will do us wrong, and we're not supposed to be okay, do it to me again kind of thing, but it doesn't mean we can't forgive them. Amen? Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 45, or 43 to 45 says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know, the person that you can't forgive right now is a child of God. Whether they've accepted Jesus or not is up to them. But Jesus died for them too. Amen? Do you think for a second, and I know there's plenty of people that don't know what they've done and the hurt that they've caused other people, right? But let's say there's somebody in your life that you're harboring unforgiveness for that actually knows what they've done to you. When you not only forgive them, but show them that outward forgiveness that they can actually become tangible for them, what kind of volumes does that speak about the God you serve working through you and now possibly working in their lives? Think about that for a second. Amen? You know, I believe this too. It's many times it's easier to forgive and make up to those that are very closest to us, our friends, our family. But God doesn't tell us to not only to just forgive people we're closest to, our friends and family. He's specific in telling us in that verse of scripture we just read that we also need to forgive our enemies. Or in other words, those who literally, truly done us wrong. You know, spending time with the Celebrate Freedom Ministry and the Celebrate Recovery Ministry, people come into that ministry all the time that deal with mental, physical, sexual abuse. You know, we see adultery, we see, you know, some serious stuff. Obviously, there's people that know people that, you know, have you know, been murdered, and there's things of that nature. But the Bible doesn't tell us that we're just supposed to forgive if it's not such a big deal. It's a blanket kind of forgiveness, the same forgiveness that Jesus offered us and God offered us on the cross. Amen? So we can't just forgive the small stuff. We really need to forgive everything. But this is where I wanted to get into it too with you guys. It's not just the forgiveness isn't just for that person. It's really first and foremost for us. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. This is actually out of the Amplified. It says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall show to be in the wrong. This peace, righteousness, security, triumph over opposition is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, those in whom the ideal servant of the Lord is reproduced. This is the righteousness or the vindication which they obtain from me. This is that which I impart to them as their justification, says the Lord. You're not your vindicator. People do you wrong. You don't have to be mad at them. You don't have to be angry. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to harbor unforgiveness. Why? Take it to God. When we take it to God, who's the vindicator? Not us. He's the vindicator, right? God is our vindicator. We don't have to do anything out of a motive of vengeance at all. God will take care of it. You know, I think we all know that there's consequences to our actions. God will forgive them. There's consequences to our actions. And those people who've done us wrong, there's consequences to their actions. Amen? So we have to be secure in the knowledge that once we turn it over to God, that we're safe and secure in Him, and there is no retribution we need to do in order to feel peace. Amen? I did a message Wednesday night on peace. If you're having trouble and a struggle with peace, get the CD. I think it would be a big help. You know, we can have that peace that surpasses understanding in every area in our life, including somebody that's done us wrong or harboring unforgiveness. And how many times should we forgive someone that they've done us wrong, right? I think we kind of know this story, right? Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, 22. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, Oh, wrong one, sorry. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 70 times seven. God wasn't telling you, hey, when you hit 490, that's it. You don't have to forgive him anymore. That's it. It's over. 491, he's done. Toast. No, it was an example of you need to continuously forgive. Amen? Hang on one second, because I realize I actually opened up a wrong version of my notes, and I don't know why. And there's somewhere else I needed to go with this. So bear with me one second. Let's hope we have it. Okay. What's also important, when we talk about that root of bitterness, right? We talk about that root of unforgiveness. There's a ripple effect that goes along with bitterness and unforgiveness. And that ripple effect means it spreads out and it touches everyone around us. You know, think about it, maybe the time in your life where you were unable to forgive somebody, maybe that's something you're going through now, that it kind of broadcasts outwardly. You know, many times walking in unforgiveness, like I said, does manifest itself in things like physical illness. But it also really is broadcasted in our attitude. You know, people that I know that I personally know that harbor unforgiveness towards an event, a person, or a situation, it's written all over their face. They are not very happy people. Amen? So, like I said, there's that spiritual side to unforgiveness, and there's also that physical side. The irony was in the last characteristic I want to talk about of that sycamine tree we talked about. Now, we talked about being bitter, unforgiveness being a bitter fruit, that if we continue to eat of that unforgiveness, it will make us sick, right? It goes deep, can be rooted very deeply, and it's very strong to overcome. It's very strong to take out. But that sycamine tree in Jesus' day was the tree that they made caskets out of. Think about that. Where does unforgiveness wind up leading? To death. Amen? So what do we do? What do we do if we're dealing with unforgiveness? Well, first and foremost, I would challenge everybody tonight to go home. If you're having a struggle in this area, go home, make a list of the people that you might be harboring that unforgiveness for, who's hurt you, the situation maybe where you can't let yourself off the hook, and pray a simple prayer to God. Whether you need to repent for something you've done, whether you need to forgive somebody, because forgiveness is not instantaneous. Forgiveness is a process. And how do we start to forgive? By faith. We have to forgive in the spirit realm by faith, because that person that did you wrong, like I said, not here to deny circumstance, it might be something that was very awful. But if we don't start to forgive by faith, how are we going to start to forgive at all? Amen? And then the other thing I believe we need to do, that root of bitterness that goes down deep, well, just like a weed, Or even a tree like the sycamine tree. How do you kill that thing itself? You have to go, like, when a weed's growing in a crack in your driveway, how do you kill it? You got to get the weed, you got to get that root out. You know, you got to find where that root of bitterness is. You know, I'm also a firm believer, and I don't know if any of you feel this way, but sometimes we could be walking in unforgiveness without even realizing we are. Well, how could that be? Well, there's an event that took place in your life, and it was something that was, you know, difficult, trying, a hard circumstance, traumatic, where you just never really came to terms with it, and now it's just part of life. But yet there's a deep-seated emotional, there's a deep-seated spiritual pull of negativity from that situation. Does that make sense? Where we're looking at it going, this is just life. Well, that's not the God kind of life. That's certainly not the God kind of love, the Zoe kind of love, right? the God kind of love. God loves you so much, he wants that gone. And I'm not a believer in looking back at your past except for one time. And that's, two times actually. One time to find out what that thing is and realize, guess what? Jesus took care of it on the cross. I mentioned about forgiving people and forgiving situations that came up. Sometimes we need to forgive that thing, whatever that thing is. You know, I will tell you right now, the negative things in my life, if you allow them to be, as horrible as they may seem, will mold you and shape you in a positive way. That thing you're harboring unforgiveness for today if you allow it to, if you allow God to help you forgive, will shape you in a positive way. You've experienced that in your life, right? Where something so awful happened, but when we don't allow that bad thing to define who we are, we define ourselves by being in Christ, allowing God to change us, allowing God to help us forgive, and now all of a sudden that thing that the enemy meant for our harm was used for our good and God's glory. Guy's going to kind of get something out of you. You know where I'm going with that? And like I said, I don't want to look back too long to see that root. I just want to see that root, maybe where that unforgiveness is, you know, deep-seated, and I want to eradicate that. You know, just rip it out. Well, how do we rip it out by the root? Just start to meditate on Scripture about forgiveness. The Word of God will change everything. Amen? So again, like I said, I didn't know if that was for somebody in here. I think it's always a great message to kind of revisit walking in forgiveness, because I think it's a natural fleshly response. You know, our flesh so often at, you know, odds with our spirit, and our flesh does not want to forgive. Our flesh wants to harbor unforgiveness. Do you know what so-and-so did to me? Blah, blah, blah. You guys get the picture, right? But our spirit says, forgive. Forgive. I got you. I've got your back. And anything that was meant for your harm, I will use for your good and my glory. Amen? So I'm going to pray us out. I know Jody's going to receive our offering in a couple seconds. Guys, we'll go up and finish out with a song. And let's just close out in prayer. Father God, I thank you again for an opportunity to be here, Lord. I thank you for meeting everybody exactly at their point of need this evening, Father, and we thank you for being the need meter, Lord. And I just ask, Father, that everybody tonight just go home and kind of do a spiritual inventory of like where we're standing as far as forgiveness or unforgiveness goes, Lord, and that you would point out to us any area that we do need to forgive and maybe just pray a simple prayer and just move on and start forgiving by faith, Lord. And we thank you for that all in Jesus' name. Amen. And before we close out the service, I just feel impressed. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know what everybody's going through. You know, you guys do, I don't, but God certainly does. So if you've never had an opportunity or never taken an opportunity or an invitation to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior so that you could have that kind of peace that I talked about, that peace that surpasses all understanding, you know, in the realm of forgiveness or really in life as a whole. If that's you and you've never made a public declaration that, hey, you know what? I want that God kind of life. If that's you, just slip up your hand and we want to pray with you and we want to make sure that's taken care of. So nobody looking around. So I'm going to believe that everybody here is saved. And let's do this. You know, we just prayed out, but let's just pray a prayer of walking in forgiveness. Amen. So let's all pray this together. Ready? Father God, I thank you for the sacrifice of your precious Son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that I have an opportunity to forgive by faith any circumstance that may have happened to me, no matter how big or how small or how trivial. Tonight, I purpose in my heart to forgive by faith. And Lord, I thank you that in any of these circumstances, you are my vindicator. And what the devil meant for my harm, you will turn around and use for my good and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.